I'm just going to focus on the positive stuff and just keep supporting people out there who want to take that step in developing their lash business. Because if someone's willing to take that step and wants to, why not offer them support to do so?
You're listening to Untamed, a podcast dedicated to empowering you, the lash artist, while providing insights on how to achieve success that is as individual and unique as you are. Each episode, me, Cheryl,
and me, Anne-Marie, share our best information openly, without reservation. We discuss challenges, best practices, and what the future holds for the lash industry.
So grab a snack and your comfiest sweater, and get ready to geek out with your new lash BFFs. Oh, and don't forget to subscribe! Hi guys, welcome back to another episode of Untamed Podcast. Today it's a really, really special episode because we have a special guest with us. And the special guest we have is Deanna. Hi, Deanna.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
I'm good.
That's good.
I know there's a bit of a time difference because you are in
Australia. Yeah.
Where in Australia are you?
In Melbourne.
Melbourne.
I'm in Melbourne.
Cool.
So it's 8 o'clock in the morning here, which is perfect. Good way to start the day.
Are you a morning person?
Not really.
Me neither. Don't worry.
No. I'm a night owl. I'll stay up till like 12, 1 o'clock and get most of my work done at night. Wake up in the morning, spend some time doing personal things, and then get on with my day. But this is a good way to get up early. Yeah.
So Deanna, to get started, can you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and International Lash Masters?
Of course I can. So I started lashing way back in 2010. At that point in time, I didn't see it as becoming a career. I thought it was just a side hobby whilst I was at uni, making some extra pocket money because, you know, working in retail didn't bring in that sort of cash. 11 years later, I'm now running lash conferences in Australia and helping lash artists grow their businesses by creating their own lash education with our online educator course. So there's a little bit of support there for them to structure a course properly to avoid all the typical cliches that lash artists want to avoid in that area. And at the same time, we are creating a really positive network in the space to mitigate any of that bullying bitchiness that we always hear about that exists. So it's going really well at the moment. So I'm really happy to be part of the lash industry right now.
Oh, I'm so bummed that I didn't get to go. I was really looking forward.
I know you were supposed to come too.
I know. I'm so bummed, but I had to because I got pregnant and I just wanted to make sure that stay put. Thanks. But I really like what you said there. I wanted to say hats off to always contributing to the educating realm in the industry, because I think that that's an area that our industry has always needed a little bit more support. So I'm always happy to hear anyone who's doing anything that's interesting, supportive, and kind of like spearheading that area of our industry. You mentioned a little bit about the community that you are building there. And I think that a few keywords there, right? I picked up, you have a really positive community that is really trying to stop some of the bullying and the bitchiness that our industry can have sometimes. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that our listener hear that right now and they're like, okay, your cup of tea was setting the tone of this episode, okay? But really, I wanted to let you guys know that today is actually going to be a really vulnerable episode. And I can't thank you enough, Deanna, for agreeing to come on our podcast to do this. And today we are going to be talking about something or bringing attention to something that's often really taboo in this industry, but and also very personal. And on top of it, I think it's very relatable as well. So I just wanted to say thank you so much. Like, I want to speak for our listener as well that we are really grateful for you having this conversation with us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm so glad you guys asked me to do this. You're right, it is vulnerable. But I think that there's people out there who are probably going through the same thing and would like to know that there is light at the end of the tunnel somehow if they just keep focused and have that tunnel vision. So if my story can help a few people, that'd make my day. So thank you.
Oh, I love it. When I reached out to you about this topic, you told me nothing is off limits, although you also admitted that you were a bit hesitant to share your story due to almost a fear of judgment. And it is incredibly brave that you're here with us today. And I'm so proud that you're overcoming your fear of judgment and speaking your truth. So without further ado, I want to get into it. One thing that I know that Deanna, Cheryl, and probably every lash artist listening can relate to is facing doubt from others at some point or another in their lives, or even within their lash career. So Deanna, you recently shared a very personal experience in a reel you posted. Do you mind sharing with our listeners what that reel was about and what it means to you?
So when I made it, I didn't really think much of it just because I've adapted my story to my existence pretty much, which is still, I think, a trauma response to dealing with certain things. I've been quite distant from a lot of my family and friends over the last few years. And when I had reached out to some of them for help and support when I was struggling, usually the response I would get would be, you need to go meet new people. You need to go make new friends. You need to stop going back to people from your past. And when you are depressed or when you're sad or when you're going through trauma, sometimes the only thing that you want in life is to feel home, to feel comfort. And you want to find that in people that you know or that you relate to or you have fond memories of because you had a connection at one point in time. And that wasn't possible for me. So I spent a long time on my own. I live on my own at the moment. The only difference with where I'm at right now and where I was a few years ago is that I've accepted that I can't keep chasing and fighting for some of my family members or certain friends from my past to come back into my life to be there for whatever reason that is. And when I accepted that, that's when my life started improving because my cognitive function, if that's what you want to say, I've done a lot of reading on this stuff. So
yeah, I can tell.
I didn't want to be in fight or flight mode anymore. So that constant like rejection or abandonment issues that came with and that induced that fight or flight mode that wasn't making me think clearly about the decisions I was making, I found that once I accepted that I couldn't go back or couldn't find comfort in the people that I thought I could trust or who would be there for me, I started reaching out to a community and an industry that was already relatable to me so it didn't feel foreign. So it wasn't like I was getting a brand new job in a brand new industry in a brand new world where everything felt a bit like daunting. I was already going to be reaching out to people who had the same career journeys as me and who I could relate to being lash artists and dealing with clients and all that frivolous stuff. But I found comfort in that because that was the stepping stones I could use to build new relationships in this world. And I didn't want to date. I was in no headspace to date and I didn't feel comfortable around men for whatever reason. And I found comfort in just being around women. And I know there's men in our industry, but predominantly it's a woman-based industry. So I felt more comfort in creating bonds and friendships in this space without having that thing in the back of my head that, oh, this person, if it was a male, they're not really my friends. They're wanting something from me. Does that make sense? Yeah. So we ended up creating this lash community unintentionally.
Yeah. It sounds like you were in a survival mode for a really long time. And in order for you to thrive, you had to leave like the circumstances that you were in before. What was some of the judgment that you were feeling from your parents and like that you weren't finding, but you were finding the acceptance in this industry or your family and your friends?
So my mum actually, this all started when my mum actually passed away in 2013.
Sorry to hear that.
That's all right. I was 24 at the time and I'd never gone through grief before. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if some people have gone through grief or whatever, but I think losing your mum is one of the biggest things you could ever possibly go through in life.
Yeah.
And I'm not negating from anyone's traumatic experiences in other areas or anything like that. But to me, I was bamboozled. That's the only word that comes to my brain. I was in shock because when someone passes away, I was lucky enough to be brought up in a nuclear household. So my mum and dad were present. So I thought when my mum passed, I'd only have to deal with grieving her, not everything else that came after it. So a lot of the support that you expect when someone passes away, or I expected because I'd just grown up in a really tight-knit family, it wasn't there. So that's when the whole abandonment issues and my self-sabotaging began, which led me to doubt my self-worth because no one was there. As much as I was trying to reach out to people, no one was there. So the longer this kept going on, and this went on for a year or two, and I wasn't well behaved at the time because I was rebelling because of the pain I was going through, and I didn't want to cry. So I would do stupid things for attention. I think that led to me hitting rock bottom because all I wanted was to feel that support or home. So it wasn't necessarily that I was told I can't do something, because I think my family know that I'm capable of achieving anything I set my mind to, because I'm usually quite a studious person. But during this period of time, I think that professional circumstances I could excel in usually, but my brain wasn't in it. I just wanted to feel home. I wanted that feeling of, we've got your back, fall, we catch you. But it never came. It absolutely never came. So that in itself put me in a state of shock, because I stopped grieving my mum because I was so concerned about the reasoning behind why people weren't around to support me through that time. Not just me, my brother. It just didn't click in my head. So I lost, I don't know what the word is, a sense of reality became trash at that point in time because nothing made sense. And I think my brain being in that state for so long, if I felt like people were constantly gaslighting me, that I couldn't speak properly because I couldn't string a sentence together. Even now when I'm talking to you guys, because I'm trying to think back to that point in time without the anger that I have, because I don't have the anger anymore. I've accepted it. So my version of the story now is changed from, if you guys asked me about this a couple of years ago, I would have been swearing. I would have been victim blaming. Like, I would have been playing the victim. Why me? Why me? But now, as I look back, yeah, it was just a really hard time. And I ended up hitting rock bottom just because of all that secondary grief that you go through, you know, realizing that certain people are not going to be in your life anymore, or the shock of having friends just disappear and move on, or dealing with my dad moving on. And it was just a lot to process that I stopped working. I slept for a good year. I couldn't function. So I literally had to pick myself up somehow. And the only person who did that and got me through that was myself, unfortunately. And I hate saying that, because I'd love to give credit to people around me for helping me. But at that point in time, it was either I get up or I destroy myself.
Sorry, it must be hard right now, even just like reliving that trauma and just by telling this story. So I know how hard that can be. And it's just, I get that when you were saying that you were just looking for a sense of belonging, like a sense of home where you can just feel safe. It's our innate desire as human being to just feel safe. And that safety we often look for in our family. And it's such a heartbreak when those who we kind of expect to be there for us isn't there for us.
Exactly.
You have mentioned that later on you were able to kind of slowly rebuild yourself through the community that you were building in this industry. How was this community, like, what are some of the things that this community offered you that slowly helped you climb out of that like survival mode?
So initially, when I decided to get up and do something and function, I didn't get back into the industry straight away, simply because I tried to take on a few clients and they would ask, just because they're kind people, how am I dealing? How am I going? How are you going without your mum? And I would cry a lot. And that was too traumatic for me. So I ended up going back to uni and doing my law degree first. And as my confidence and social anxiety started to dissipate and I was happy to be around people again, that's when I headed back into the industry just to get some money. Just that's what I knew best. And then I realized, and that's when Instagram, so this was around 2015, 2016, Instagram started becoming a thing, and it was easier to connect. Yeah. The bad editing apps, photo apps as well back in the day. Good Valencia.
Yeah, that's exactly what anyway, I was thinking about.
Oh, it was easy to connect with people online in the lash industry, and I started to feel like my identity was coming back because I had completely lost who I was. You know, I didn't cut my hair for 5 years, didn't go to the gym. I didn't look after myself at all because I hated myself. I hated if people around me couldn't support me, I must have been a really crappy person. So I just didn't have any self-confidence whatsoever. But going online and talking to people that had no idea about what I was going through, it made me forget a little bit and gain that bit of, oh, I remember this. Like, this is what I used used to do, you know, like a bit of like self-awareness again. And it just grew from there. So I built my lash business, Lashed Eyelashes, before I started International Lash Masters again. And then I decided that I wanted more from the industry and I wanted to do something different. So when I created the International Lash Masters, I think people were excited and people were contacting me, which is no one really has. Another lady, Kim, that's based in Australia, used to do lash conferences here. But because I was, I don't know, a new face, people were excited that, oh, hey, there's something new in the industry. So people were reaching out to me, which automatically made me feel whole because they were coming to me for something for once. It wasn't me trying to go out of my way to help someone else to fill voids. I wasn't buying people's love and attention by giving them things. It was people actually seeing value in what I was providing. That seems selfish or whatever, but when someone fills your cup, you can fill other people's cups. One of my girlfriends says that to me all the time. She says, if your cup's empty, you can't fill someone else's cup. And it was the first time in good 6-7 years that I felt like my cup was starting to fill again. And obviously after all that time, I could start making decisions again, or I slowly started posting videos on Instagram for my page because I could put a sentence together. I started to sound articulate again, whereas beforehand I could not function. So I didn't want to show my vulnerabilities and put that on social media because I grew up an academic. I've always been well-spoken. So during that period of time when my brain wouldn't function and I could only use really simple words, I didn't want people to see that side of me. So I never posted on Instagram. But yeah, so when this community started and people were reaching out and they were excited, I must have triggered something in me to let the pain go and focus on the positive stuff, because I was a good person and I did have self-value. And I know obviously people did like me. It wasn't all the way the people in my life made me feel wasn't true. And I started to believe in myself again. And it's just continued that momentum over the last 2-3 years, especially through lockdown. I think a lot of people were at home and needed that connection. So I'm very, very, very grateful to the people. So when I say I made friends at the Lash Conference in Sydney 2 weeks ago, I truly and honestly believe I did. I'm not just saying that because I organized the conference. I really did.
I really echo a lot of the things that you said, because like I didn't grow up with the most supportive family as well. Like I didn't have a lot of love from people who I think that is supposed to love me, but I was able to find community within the lash industry as well. Even though I think what you're saying here makes me realize that sometimes when the people around us who's supposed to support us and we're seeking love and support from doesn't give it to us, it really makes us question our self-worth. And then suddenly we feel like because they don't love me like the way I supposed to be loved, suddenly I'm not worth loving anymore. And
that's right, 100%.
Yeah. And then
no one should feel like that either. That's a mm-hmm. disgusting feeling to feel like that.
Absolutely. And self-love is something that I feel like most people struggle with. Even if you have an abundance of wealth or resources or anything else, somehow self-love is always scarce, because it's so hard to just build them on our own. We need the support. We're tribal animals. Like we need other people to like build a home together. And I think that when I built Untamed Artistry, I had a very similar experience as you as well. Like before UA, I didn't really think I was good at anything. Like I dropped out of university. I didn't really ever had a job. And I just felt like I wasn't really good at anything in the real world. And I felt like I wasn't accepted in the real world. But I come into this world of lash artists and suddenly like they like what I'm saying. They want to ask me for help. And I just enjoy helping them so much. And I think that's why your event is so great. It's because you are authentic when you're engaging with these people. You're building real relationships. They're not just an opportunity for money. They are an opportunity for deeper human relationships. So that's really beautiful. Besides like the industry, what are some of the other ways that you were able to push through like so much doubt that was being thrown at you?
Going to gym was a big one. I grew up in sport anyway, and I did go to the gym before this all happened. So during that period, I stopped exercising and I put on 15 or so kilos. So that played a part on my self-worth as well, because none of my clothes fit. I couldn't dress the way I wanted to dress anymore. So that played a part on my self-identity too, because I had to but I felt more comfortable, you know, wearing tracksuits or baggy t-shirts instead of a nice dress that I would usually wear. So going back to the gym and trying to get my endorphins up and eating healthy, doing little things slowly that I used to do helped, and I would try to, as much as a lot of the people that meant the world to me didn't come back into my life, I would always, and I think this was a coping mechanism as well, because some of these people didn't stay in my life. I tried to see one or two people here and there that knew me before my loss of who I was, because it gave me a sense of they know who I really am. I don't want new people to meet me in this state, because I don't want people to feel sorry for me, or I don't want people to think that I'm someone who doesn't look after myself, if that makes sense. I want people that knew me beforehand when I was really fit and really on the ball and really outgoing and really funny, just so I didn't have to try and prove myself with words. I didn't want to sit there and be like, oh, you know, and I did. Every time I met someone new, this is why I didn't want to meet new people, because I would end up telling stories about how I was before, you know, my mum died. Like, oh, I used to be a size. I used to go to the gym every day. I used to be a gym junkie. So it was always like, I was. And I hated that, because I have the rest, like, that's not who I am. And I shouldn't have to feel like I have to prove myself for validation because of the doubt and all that bullshit that came with it. And it was so not fair. So yeah, I went back to the gym. I went back to, like I said, I went back to uni. Completing a law degree and becoming a lawyer was something I'd always wanted to do, and something my mum always wanted me to do. So that distracted me. And I think it built up a lot of resilience, because I was focused in all the assignments and making friends at university. That was kind of important to me too, because we all came from different walks of life and kept our relationship. I'm tend to be one of those people that goes to uni and comes home. I don't stay at uni and become friends with everyone. But the relationships were semi-professional, in the fact that it was a distraction from my personal life, because I wasn't going to open up to these people. So that helped as well. So yeah, that's what I did. I couldn't go out. Going out was a big thing. Going out gave me social anxiety for a long time, because I was if I'd go out with people, I would either be tagging along with someone that I was an acquaintance with. So I would sit at a restaurant, or I'd sit at a bar, and my head would not be there. It'd be like, I want to go home. Or I'd constantly be looking for people that I missed who weren't coming, but I was constantly looking at the door, hoping that I would bump into someone that I really, really wanted to see, and it never, ever came. So I had to just work out what worked for me. And most of the things that worked for me was either being on my own or being with one or two people that I felt comfortable with to do normal daily things.
Diana, obviously, as you're building this community you're building, you're connecting with a lot of artists. Do you see that, like, this not being supported from family, kind of a common thread? Have you heard other people share similar stories? Because I know that, like, Emery and I have come across a lot of people. Is that something you've also experienced as well?
Yes, I have. Not so much the same issues, but a lot of people have a lot of self-doubt. It's an ongoing thing. Like, people reach out to me and ask questions and, oh, I don't think I can. It's like, I don't think I can do this. And for whatever reason, not everyone opens up as to why they don't feel like they can do that. But it hurts to hear, because I know people can do it. And I want people to have the strength and ability to take that step and get out of their comfort zone, because you have one life. And as cliche as it sounds, sometimes when you do that one little thing that's outside of your comfort zone, it can change your whole mentality. So yeah, people do reach out and ask for help, or they've got issues, but not many people open up to that extent to let me in as to why they have that self-doubt. But yeah, people do reach out and say that they've got various issues, or whether they're mums that have kids, so they don't feel like they can grow their business. Or a few people have reached out and said that they're going through a breakup, which is why they either got into the lash industry or they're building up a side hustle to help them financially as well, which is a big traumatic experience too. So there's a lot of people out there with issues, and I don't think people talk about it because of that whole I have to look professional thing, or my clients won't come to me if I open up. It's toxic. But the thing is, everyone will go to listen to a podcast, whatever podcast it is, and relate to stories like this. So I think it shouldn't be such a taboo thing to discuss, which is why I wanted to do this today. And I'm very appreciative of you guys inviting me on.
Aw, we're appreciative of you.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And it sounds like stepping out of our comfort zones, or the comfort zones that we feel like we're putting ourselves, like we're trying to compress our comfort zone sometimes, right? Or others are trying to stuff us in a box of where they think we should be. But stepping outside of that comfort zone plays a huge role in anyone being able to push forward, no matter where this response is coming from, if it's something that's just their own self-doubt or if it's coming on from someone else. But I'm curious, Deanna, what is a piece of advice or what would you say to anyone who's experiencing hurt and pain from words or actions that directly come from someone that they love, if that's a parent, a spouse, a sibling, a best friend?
Oh, one specific bit of advice.
No, it can be more than one. It's totally fine.
Fine. I don't want anything I say to sound cliche because healing isn't linear, as we all know. It's up and down. And sometimes the most hurtful things can be said or actions can be done by the closest to us. But if someone is feeling hurt and it feels like they are at rock bottom, I think what they need to do is find one thing that they enjoy. It can be as minute as big as possible. Just find that one thing that it can distract them mentally, get their mind off something, that's just to find that one thing and that to take that little step. Because there's always a voice in the back of our head saying, we deserve better. This is not your story. Don't let them get to you. It's not fair. Why should you let people do this to you? You're a good person. So if you have that voice in the back of your head, you have to listen to it. I think that voice is what got me out of bed. And I'm very grateful to my tenacity in that regard, because that is literally what got me out of bed. So if anyone is suffering at the moment and they have that little voice in their head, when you're ready, you might not be ready to listen to it, but when you are ready, that little voice will save your life.
Wow. That's absolutely but just no words. A great, great, beautiful response. I love the focus on finding one thing for you and listening to that internal voice. That is so easy for us to just push aside.
Yeah, of course, all the time.
It's absolutely there.
I know I sound like a broken record, but we said that in other podcasts as well. And it's kind of my model now. Very similar to what Deanna said, is that believing that you are inherently good. Believing that you're inherently good as you are right now. And when you find that strength and when you find those moments, because there's always many voices in our head that's combating for our attention. And not all of them are kind to us. Most of the voices that we have in our head are mean. They're cruel. But if we really investigate it, I guess the advice is investigate those voices and ask yourself, are those your true authentic voices? Or are those just echoing the voices of someone else that you've heard before? Especially those who you love. The more someone loves you and the supposed to love you and closer to you, the more weight that their words would hold in your world. So I think that it's being able to really assess those voices and ask yourself, is that my authentic voice? Because your authentic voice should be telling you that you're inherently good, not you're good when you make six figure, not you're good when you are loved and accepted by everyone who you love and accept, right? It's just you're good right now. And I think the advice would be keep working on that belief. Keep working on, even if you just got to keep telling yourself, fake it till you make it in the beginning, but know that that is the truth. That's the truth for everybody. It's truth for every single human being in the world. But it's just, we have so much noise that we have to filter out in order for us to get there. And so keep pushing, I guess. That would be the advice, is keep pushing, keep going, and don't give up.
That's so beautiful, you guys. Get all emotional over here. That's really good.
I can tell Cheryl's done intergenerational trauma work when she said, is the energy is mine or are they somewhere else's? I went to see, I think she was a quantum specialist or something a month ago. And we were trying to work out where my energies were coming from. So what thoughts were mine? What thoughts came from my mom's lineage? What thoughts came from my dad's lineage? And we did exercises to help recognize if I was feeling a certain way or, thinking a certain thing, to recognize, hang on, that's not mine. Yes. You can have that back.
Right.
Get out of my head. It's not my demon to deal with. So when you said that, I was like, ah, yeah. Cool, she's done some trauma work as well.
Yeah, for sure. I've done it all. I've done hypnotherapy. I've done the conventional talk therapy. I am doing EMDR currently. So I feel definitely have a lot of trauma in my life that I need to unpack. And as much as I love being this person who have these kind of conversations with friends and we can talk about the resources and the core belief you should have, But every single day, the battle is still like all the other noises in my head, right? Like, it's so much easier said than done. I feel like
it is.
That's my big takeaway.
Yeah,
it's absolutely. Easier said than done.
Absolutely.
And there's triggers. You'll think you're having a good period and a good run, and there'll be triggers that'll just like all of a sudden your brain will just snap back and you'll feel like you're back in that place. And it's just like, no, like it's just building that strength to like, not push it, but recognize it. I think pushing it to the side is what gets you into trouble. You need to recognize where it's coming from. And I think I'm still delving into a bit of shadow work, but I feel like when you have triggered by something, that is an area that you still need to work on, I think. So you got to recognize it. Oh, hang on, I haven't dealt with that yet. So we're going to have to work on that part.
You should, because I know you're like academic and you like reading. There's a book that I started reading. It's about shadow work, but I like it because it's written in very like quirky language. It's called My Existential Kink. And
oh, okay.
It's already caught your attention.
Yeah, of course.
But it really talks about how like sometimes we just have to accept that some of the self-sabotaging behavior that we do, it's because like that's what feels safe to us. It's what feels comfortable to us. And it's really accepting all of it and not pushing it away, like what you were saying earlier. So cool. I feel like whenever I get to like geek out on these type of things, because there are people like you that experience like very dramatic like grief and trauma. And then for me, mine is more like CPTSD. So, but then for some people, it's just kind of everyone's experience. That's what I want people to take away also from this conversation, is that everyone's experience is unique. And trauma isn't a scary word. Just like what we're talking about here today, the conversation we're talking about, it isn't a taboo. Everyone, anytime your needs aren't met, it's creating a trauma to your body. It's creating a trauma to your mind. And we shouldn't shy away from that word. And I think a lot of people tend to diminish their experience because they will tend to compare it to other people. And they would say, oh, mine isn't as bad, or mine isn't like that. But anytime your needs aren't met, if it's being needing support from your family for your new career, or it's needing a lash artist to help you and then you got some sort of lash back in a negative way, these are all trauma. But they're just, I think the word trauma
is traumatic itself.
Exactly. It's triggering itself.
It's not a nice word.
Yeah, I like how Cheryl calls it.
I call it the tease. Okay, because I was like, you know what, that word is way too like triggering. So whenever now, let's say if I get into argument with my husband, now I keep forgetting husband now, and I'm acting all of my trauma, I'm like, it's just my tease, okay, it's my tease. Or when I watch TV and then I see somebody, like a story unfold, and I see that they're behaving a certain way, it's because of their experience and their trauma. I'm like, that's just their tease. Or like, I wonder if you see everyone just like that, they all have T's and that they all just kind of, right? Everyone have it.
Yeah. When you learn into it and you look into it and you start picking up why people do certain things, how they react and why, I'm just like, okay. I don't take offense to that because I know where that's coming from now. So see you later. Goodbye.
Yeah, it's not me.
Exactly.
See you later. Goodbye.
I just want to touch on one more thing. When you do build yourself up again and, you know, you start putting in place boundaries, initially it's from a defensive point of view, like I don't want to get hurt again, I don't want to do this. But for me, at the where I am right now, after all the reading and work I've done on myself, I've spent a lot of time on my own, and in that time, and that was with celibacy as well, like I don't want to feel comfortable getting into a relationship or being physical with a guy yet. Simply because, but in doing that, it's made me not increase my value, but when someone now comes into my space, I'm not as complacent. Whereas before this happened, I would just be nice to everyone and I couldn't understand why people were hurting me and I was too nice to the wrong people. Now, when someone comes into my space, if I either get a gut feeling or if they've done something that I don't agree with or it doesn't align with where my brain is at, I'm automatically like, no, this isn't good. I need to remove myself because I do not want to regress and I do not want to allow the wrong people into my space to diminish the work that I've done on myself. So I think that's important to tell people, is that when you work on yourself and you get to a place where you are happy with who you are and you're ultimately believing that you are a good person and that you deserve better, You need to listen to your gut and your intuition when people come into your space after you've done that work. If you don't feel comfortable getting big, I'm going to use like sex as just a thing, like an example, because it's so easy. Like people will go out and have hookups or date casually or get their mind off things by using sex. And like, I'm not saying everyone, it's what happens. When you spend so much time on your own, if I'm around, for me personally, I'm very selective with who I let into that space now, because if they don't come to meet my values, I just don't want that energy around me. Even if it's for fun, even if it's for whatever it is, I don't have that. I need that connection now. Whereas before it was like, oh, that guy's really hot, or like, I really, you know, that it's different now. And I think that when you get to that sense of self-respect in protecting your values due to what you've gone through, not saying that there wasn't self-respect before, but it's a different respect. You're protecting your everything about you now, not just aspects of you. You're protecting your energy more than anything.
Yeah. This reminded me of something that, like, it was kind of a hard pill to swallow, because for me, I've historically had a history of not knowing how to set boundaries. And we talk a lot about this in this podcast, actually, setting boundaries. Being a business owner, you need to learn how to set boundaries. Because at any time, using your example again, right, like maybe the casual hookups and stuff like that, I think the casual hookups are totally fine if you don't feel a particular way about it, right?
Of course, yeah.
But at any time afterwards, you feel like abandoned, or you feel bad, or you feel any negative emotion comes up. This was the hard pill for me to swallow, is that anytime a negative emotion comes up for you and it's triggering you and it's making you feel bad, that means that there's a boundary that needed to be set you didn't set.
Yeah, 100%. I agree with that completely.
And it's kind of like taking your own responsibility, knowing that no one else knows what your values are. And like, it's you that have to like set up those fences and be like, hey, like, I'm not okay with this. Hey, I'm not okay with that. And that's something that's really hard for me. I've always kind of just like, oh, I'm a really nice person. People should just be really nice to me, you know?
Yeah. I was the same. I was exactly the same. And I think when it's also very mature and shows a lot of growth, because I've been through that same exact situation, the old me would blame that person and saying, they used me, they did this. Whereas now I would be like, that's my fault. I didn't put my boundary in place. So I should have put my foot down. The more you work out those feelings that you just mentioned, I think you get a little bit of strength to say, no, that didn't work for me. I don't like how I feel. No, because you're the only person that's going to look after yourself. If you keep letting people walk all over you and over and over you, that's when you end up back into that space that no one wants to be in. So it's okay to say no and remove yourself from horrible situations, and not just sexually, anything. If something's not working for you, if someone is saying something about you and you think it's totally okay to even stand up for yourself if someone's speaking negatively of you, because we're not allowing people to overstep those boundaries and disrespect us in those ways anymore.
Like our policy, that's one of the biggest thing for service provider. I think service provider, it's maybe we share similar teas. We have this tea of wanting to please, wanting to make someone's happiness like makes our day, right? Because that's what service provider loves, is making someone feel beautiful, feel happy, because ultimately that makes us feel good and it brings us joy. But sometimes on the extreme of that, it's like then you get to a point where you feel uncomfortable speaking up and uncomfortable when someone else kind of crosses your boundary. Those T's also somehow block us from speaking our mind.
Agreed.
I'm going to coin this term. This is going to be pot. Everyone from now on, if you're listening to this, from now on, just use the word T's. It makes so much sense. When you start using it, you're just like, oh, that makes so much
sense. It doesn't hurt as much to say.
Right?
Yeah, I like it. I like it.
Now, this is actually kind of interesting to me, because one thing that I've recognized is that many stylists who've experienced what you two are sharing, like those self-doubts or doubts from other people not being supported, you persevere and you find a spot in the lash industry where you both said that you felt love in a place and sense of belonging. But then what happens? This is something I've heard from a lot of people, and I want to hear your take on it. It seems like eventually, although this is an industry that you first find a sense of belonging in and a sense of love and respect, you come across haters and bullying. Like, this is just a story I hear over and over again. It's like we're trying to find a place to belong, and then now we're here, and all of a sudden the spot we thought would support and love us is hating on us. I've seen it happen to Cheryl from my perspective and many other lash brand owners, the quiet stylists, educators, and I've also experienced it myself. But no one seems to be off limits to this type of bullying or mistreatment that happens in the industry. And oftentimes I hear stylists say, I'm not going for my goals because I'm afraid of how others will react to me trying to do this. Or, you know, they start limiting themselves of fear of others, right? So I'd like to open this conversation up again and really get into the bullying of our industry as well, because that in itself is extremely hurtful. And Deanna, recently you were actually bullied in a lash forum and you were saying that, you know, you were trying to just offer support to lash educators, but it didn't go over well. Can you explain a little bit about what happened? And then I really want to dive into the bullying of our industry as well.
I definitely can, because now my tone of voice is going to change because we're not regressing into the past, you see. I've never been one to chat in lash forums. I avoid that stuff. I think it's an invitation for toxicity initially. So I stay out of that, and I'm not privy to a lot of toxic bullying conversations because I remove myself when they begin. However, in this particular instance, over the last couple of years since I started the International Lash Masters and developed that online educator course, a few industry OGs who actually spoke at my first conference, to be honest with you, they were more than happy to promote their brands at my conference, which at that time I was happy and humbled that they came because they have been a couple of the most prominent brands in Australia. So I was really happy that they actually stood on the stage and agreed to come. But ever since then, and ever since my business started growing, and ever since people started, the word got out that, oh, there's this course online that you can learn how to put your own lash course together, or there's this girls having conferences. I don't know anyone in the industry. I just did what I wanted to do because that's what an entrepreneur does. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm happy to take risks. I didn't want to just do lashes day in, day out. I wanted to do something else. And as you know, people say all the time, the industry is always developing, the industry is always changing. And in my head, I'm always thinking of the next thing. Like, how can I be a part of that change? What can I think of? Let's do something different. You know what I mean? I don't like chasing tails and doing what everyone else is doing. That's just me, who I am. I'm not doing it to piss anyone off. I'm not doing it to step on anyone's toes. That's just how I am. In any industry I'll be in, that's what I do. So unfortunately, apparently, I don't know if it's because I'm considered what, an underdog, or because I'm not in a clique, a lash clique, I have been the target of, oh, she's ruining the lash industry. She's making everyone a lash educator. It's my fault that people are offering lash courses left, right, and center. It's my fault. How can it be one person's fault? That's what hurts my feelings. And like I said, this has been happening since 2019 here and there. This one particular person just loves to have stabs at me. Or I remember one time, so I had a student, so I'm running on a bit of a tangent. I don't know if it's all got to do with the same story. One time we had a student enroll in our online educator course. Now, prior to enrolling and beginning the course, I ask all the students to submit their original lash certificates so I can see who trained them. And then I go onto that trainer's page and I say, oh, they're credible, I've heard of them or whatever. Or I question them saying, hey, I don't know where this business is. So that's what we get. So this person submitted their certificate and it was from someone who was a credible trainer. I allowed them to complete the course. They completed our educator course. I gave them our certificate because despite being a private course, I give certificates. Doesn't mean my certificates hold more weight than others. I'm not saying any of that, but if you complete a course, it's nice to get a certificate. So this person reached out to, who was the trainer, reached out to me. This is when I noticed the toxicity in the industry, to be honest with you. And this person said, can you get that certificate back off that student? Because she didn't pay me for the original lash course that I provided her. And I said to her, that's not my problem. You provided her with a certificate. It's not my job to debt collect and enforce bullshit that you've put yourself in. Your actions cause consequences. That's not something. And all of a sudden it was, how could you go against me? Why would you do this to me? It went straight to that, like I was purposely setting out to hurt this person. Why would anyone take on issues and problems and put yourself in the middle of someone else's bad business mistakes? I don't know who would do that. I don't think anyone would do that, to be honest. And I said, I don't want to get involved. Please leave me out of it. And I think from that moment on, it gave this person permission to then constantly bring me up and discredit my name in these lash forums over the course of the last 2 years. And I've always ignored it because I don't like giving rise to crap like this. This person doesn't know me personally. But the things that I have been, the only reason I find out about this stuff is because people screenshot and send it to me. And I have a lot of people that, not saying I have a clique, I don't. There's a lot of people who have read this stuff and sent it to me just to let me know. We're not doing it to gang up on these people. They're just like, hey, they're not mentioning your name, but it's clearly it's about you. They're discrediting you. They're trying to say that, you know, I have no integrity in the industry, that I'm just after the money, because our course did really well over lockdown because people were stuck at home, and because there's not many people offering courses that help educators create a proper comprehensive lash course. So I'm a target because I've done something different, and that's completely fine. However, the last week reached a new level because they made it personal. They were mentioning the fact that, oh, who does she think she is because she's got a law degree and she knows lashes. She's got no right. I've got no right to help people. I've got no right to offer this course. I have no, absolutely no right. And they wanted to create a petition to stop me.
A petition?
Yeah. And they're like, what can we do? Like I've done something criminal, right?
Right.
And it enraged me. And I didn't know what to do. I left it. People were more than 10 people inboxed me the conversations. And I can't believe that it was a joke. They resorted to making me being a lawyer a joke. That is how desperate they are to find something negative about me, because they don't know who I am. First, I don't speak to them. All they do is talk in lash forums. And these are people that have been in the industry for years. And that's them telling everyone that because they want to be known as the OGs and everyone has to give them respect. And in my eyes, it's time to get with the program and understand that there are other people that know their shit that deserve the space. It's not just you can do what you want and you deserve respect. If you want respect, you have to give respect. That's how I see it. And I'm not intimidated by anyone. I don't put them on a pedestal because outside this lash industry, no one knows who they are. So I don't know what kind of respect they think that they're owed. But when you start discrediting other people on a public page, diminishing their accomplishments and diminishing their goals and trying to, had crossed my mind, I felt like, because they've said it a few times about my educator course, she has no idea what she's doing. She's just after the money. I thought, oh, should I stop? Am I doing something wrong? And then I thought, no, because if I didn't do it, someone else would do it and they would probably do it. So all what they say about me is probably most likely out of jealousy because they didn't think of it first. I don't like saying shit like that, by the way. I really don't like it. But I don't appreciate the comments about me in a lash forum like that. It's wrong. And they've never once reached out to me to ask me about my course. They've never once reached out and shared their concerns about it. They're just bitching behind my back. So I don't know what resolution that brings in any circumstance, but if there was really true concern about what I was doing, I think an email or a phone call or of some sort, not that I owe them anything to tell them, but I don't think there's been any legitimate interest in trying to figure out where my stance is on this. They just want to attack my reputation on the line to make themselves feel better.
You know, one thing that was really interesting that you said is because you dared to do something different. And that's actually Untamed Artistry's whole phrase is dare to be different. And we want you to know that, like, we support you and all the other stylists listening who are daring to do something different. And there is a lot of backlash that can happen. I'm hearing that from your story, from doing something different. I saw that happen with Cheryl. I've seen that happen to so many people in this industry because there is a different take or a different thought process. And that happens even just within education. It's like, I have a new idea for how we could design. Oh boy, you try to bring anything new in and people get intimidated by it. And I don't think it's right to bully. I don't think it's right to try to get everyone to sign a petition on you. That doesn't quite make sense. I guess we're suing the lawyer now.
I don't think the government is going to take this seriously either. It's like, what is this petition? You're trying to stop someone from doing what? Offering a private course like everyone else in the lash industry is already doing? Just different take on it?
Yeah.
Like I said before, I think lash forums on Facebook are just a breeding ground for toxicity. But the fact that people have time to sit and create a thread like this, if you're so concerned, if you're so affected by the effects of the pandemic as well, why are you wasting your time focusing on what other people are doing as opposed to fixing what issues are going on in your own backyard? I think a lot of business owners should have tunnel vision when it comes to their own shit and be nice to people. It doesn't hurt to be nice to other people.
As you're telling the story, I'm like, I wonder if it's the same person who said to me that, like, I'm in this industry because food blogging makes no money. So, because I was an aspiring food blogger for a little while when I was trying to figure my shit out. And like, yeah, they definitely brought my identity into it. I've also have been attacked before. I don't actually know what I'm doing in industry. And that only reason why I look like I make it, it's all my money from poker anyway. So I think that, like, going back to talking about teas, like, it's clear that these people have some superiority teas that they need to work through. And attacking seems like it all comes from a scarcity mindset. Like, it's when they feel threatened. And I'm not saying that, like, oh, it's okay to bully somebody. It's okay to be nasty like that. Absolutely not. But I also see that, like, these are just trauma people. And one of the things that I also think, what I worry more than anything else, it's more like the opposite of it. Like, there's always going to be people that have teas, always going to be people that have to work through their stuff and maybe taking it out. But what I worry more is the rest of the industry, because we're in this industry that I like to think it's a little fragile, right? Like, we talked about this earlier about the need of validation, the need of feeling love and community and home and all of these. And I feel like a lot of new artists coming into our industry has a very fragile sense of confidence and self-worth as a lash artist. And what I hate the most about all of this is that they are being exploited. That fragility in their confidence and their self-worth as an artist, it's absolutely being exploited by these so-called big dogs or people who have seniority for some reason or in these clique. And I've seen this again and again and again of people or brands that uses their likes and comments and their follow, and they weaponize it. They weaponize their ambassador program. Like, as far, I can go as far as saying that, because we recently dismantled our ambassador program because I don't align with those values. But I guess my message here for those who are listening, I think a lot of listeners here are going to be on the one that gets the short end of the stick, right? The one that experienced the bullying, experienced the hostility, especially from people who sometimes, disappointingly, from people you admire or look up to, and these, like, artists that you aspire to be. And what I want them to know is, like, don't let them exploit you. That's why we always have to work on believing we're inherently good, because if we base our value on which brand is willing to post my work, which brand is willing to work with me, which brand is liking my photos, commenting on my thing, or responding to my comment, you are putting your self-worth in the hands of others. And you're just ready to be exploited, because there will always be people that would exploit that. The only way I feel like to fight back to these bullies, we can't change them. Like, we can't go back and sit down with them and have a therapy session and be like, where, what happened? But what we can do,
way too much energy to even think exactly. About that. It's just too much.
Exactly. And I think that's the only thing we can do as an industry to almost, like, push back, is to choose not to be exploited. Choose to really see the intention of these educators or brands or your lash role model. Like, look at their action, not their words, and see, like, do they present these kind of bullying behavior? Do they, like, for you, when people looking at your courses, if I'm looking, taking your course, I'm looking at the intention you have behind it. I want to hear from you. I don't want to hear from these people. Exactly. So I think that, like, don't let them crowd your judgment. And one of the things that I know, the more we start working on our self-worth, the less we're going to let other people's opinion come and affect us. And there's always going to be bullies in our industry. And I was so naive, okay? Like, when I first started in the industry, like, a year and a half into it, and I'm, like, finding my foot, I'm thinking, oh, I'm pretty good at volume. I'm doing so many lash artists, lashes in Toronto. And then one of my friends, like, this industry, it's nasty. And I'm like, what? What are you talking about? Rainbow, butterfly, sunshine. But yeah, like, I think that one of the thing is, like, kind of also just going to prevent yourself, I think, from sometimes the bullying doesn't even come directly. It isn't someone saying something to you that...
Oh, it's never direct. Yeah. When is it direct? This industry doesn't know about direct.
No, but sometimes...
It's always behind someone's back.
Yeah, and then also sometimes it's also, like, subliminal. Like, if I don't know if you see this, I see that a lot, where it's this passive-aggressive tone about, if you don't agree with me, then you're not a good artist. Don't ever listen to that. I think that that's one of the thing that like when we're scrolling, I'm doing this for the past like year or two now, like just on my Instagram, like as I'm scrolling, kind of like setting my social media boundary, any feed that comes up, any post that comes up that triggers jealousy in me, envy, or any like those feelings that I know associated to like my teas and stuff like that, I just delete it. I'm like, you know what? This me no good. And sometimes a lot of the bullying, I think they're like mass bullying people.
Yeah, it's not, you can't take it too personal because they do it to everyone. They've got nothing better to do.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like a character trait at that point. It's really horrible.
Yeah. And the less I think we empower these people, the less we're going to see these kind of people as well. It's also our responsibility to take off the rose glasses, right? Yeah. And then just really assess someone's, match them against our value. And then say, does this align with my value? Does it align with my value to make definitive statement about someone's artistry without knowing them? Probably doesn't, right? So definitely, I feel like this is a topic that a lot of people can relate to in one way or another. I actually recently had somebody talk like in my DM telling me that I can't wait to be an educator, but I'm told that I can't be one unless I have multiple trainer certificate and I have to do all of these things right first. I'm like, who are these people?
That's what I don't like about this industry. There's some sort of standard that people think that we have to follow. But at the end of the day, I don't even think the original people followed them themselves. Like, I don't understand. Like, that's what frustrates me about this industry. Everyone knows it's pretty much a free-for-all. It's up to you to do your own due diligence about how you want to place yourself in the industry and how much work you want to do, whether that be develop your lash skills or become a lash educator, sorry. But if you're running a business, any business, it's up to you to do the work for your business's success. If you don't want to do a lash educator course or you don't want to develop your skills, that's ultimately going to be your demise, or it's going to show in your business how prepared you are or how much. So when everyone's got these like, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to do this. If you're a business owner, those things should come second nature to you to want to do to see your business grow. That's where I come from. I don't want to tell people what to do. I just think that, well, if you want your business to go this way, you would do this, this, and this. But it's ultimately your choice. It's up to you. It always comes out, proof is in the pudding at the end of the day. I just don't see a need to point people out and tell them you need to do this. If they don't want to do it, then don't. Why do you care? Like, just let them do it. Like, it's so much energy to do that.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing. It's like they wear it like your best intention kind of as a badge of honor. But a lot of time, I think artists also get pressured into following a certain trajectory too. This trajectory of like, I have to be fully booked, then I make six figure, then I become an educator, and then I open a salon, then I have multiple staff, then I start a brand. If I don't follow this trajectory, I'm not successful. Yeah, I haven't made it.
I'm so tired of that.
100% agree with that. Yep.
Yeah. So.
So tired of that. Every time I'm like, ugh.
Well, this is why I was like, what am I going to do? I want to do a conference. Let's get everyone together. Let's ask people to speak that wouldn't usually speak. And I think that's a reason why we had a lot of feedback from our conference in Sydney. Everyone had a great time. Everyone was super positive. There was no bullying whatsoever. Group of us had dinner afterwards and we went out and Marie came. We all had so much fun.
I was there in spirit.
Yes, you were. But I think events like that where... And I had a lot of new lash artists come up to me that have only been lashing for a year or so saying that they felt comfortable. And that meant a lot to me because I know stepping into those atmospheres can be intimidating because they can – I'm not in this headset anymore, but a lot of people are still in that headset where, wow, look how big their business is. Like they must be da 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 da. That person who is further along in their journey has gone through that many obstacles to get there. Yes, it is something to commend, but it's not something to be intimidated of because you are not there in your journey yet. It's best to absorb and hang around people like that to motivate you on your journey. So I was really super grateful that people were saying that they felt comfortable because our event wasn't full with, you know, all those stereotypical people that have followed that lash trajectory. And we did a poll when the bullying and the forum started the other day. I just wanted to double check. I already knew, but I wanted to double check. I put up a poll on my story and I wanted people to vote and I wanted to ask people if they felt the community that we were building was positive or if they had a sense of negativity and bullying. And more than 500 people saw the story, and over 20%, so just over 100 people, 100% voted that it was positive. So I put that as a post up, and that's what made me happy. So it just made me stop caring about people were saying that I was only doing it for the money and I was just flipping online courses. And if more than 100 people can say that they felt positive, and the speakers even being reached out to, being thanked for taking the time to share their journeys and stories at the event, I think we're doing a good job, and that's what I need to focus on instead of worrying about what two particular people have to say about me. But yeah, I'm just going to focus on the positive stuff and just keep supporting people out there who want to take that step in developing their lash business. Because if someone's willing to take that step and wants to, why not offer them support to do so? Why shut them out and say, no, you can't? Who am I to say, no, you can't? Who is anyone to say, no, you can't?
Absolutely.
Best you can do is be there and offer guidance. There's so many people offering business coaching courses and mentoring courses. I honestly feel like I'm not doing anything different but showing support and helping people on their journey to offer lash education. So it's no different than me sitting down saying, you need to do your business this way and that way. It's similar. I like what I do and I like helping people, and I'm not going to stop doing it.
Yeah. Those who want to see real changes in industry, you should just do it through your own action, right? Like, instead of criticizing people, but just kind of do, if you think that there's a lack in the industry, you think there's a problem in the industry, then fix it. Fix it with your action, but not with your words.
That's right. You did a good job, guys.
We're going to let Emery wrap it up here with one last bit of question.
Deanna, thank you so much again for coming on today and sharing so openly. I know many of us can relate to that story from one aspect or another, and I love this raw conversation that we're able to have. And I want to thank you also for creating a place for artists to come together and support one another, even through all the hate, hurt, and pushback that you've received, continue to receive, and will likely receive in the future. Keep at it. International Lash Masters is amazing, and it's something that I was truly proud to be a part of this past year with you as well. Your story is one that can and will change the course of our industry. Now, we do typically like to do a rapid Q&A session at the end of our episodes with our guests, but I have something a little different prepared today. So I'm going to pass it off to Cheryl, and then I will be back with my surprise for you.
Deanna, first, we have something to share with you. But first, what would you say to your younger you?
Don't be so nice to everyone. Not everyone wants the best for you. Stick to your guns. Yeah, that's pretty much it at this point in time. That's all I can think of. Pretty simple, to be honest with you, but...
but impactful for you.
Yeah, 100%.
Emery, are you ready to share?
I am. I compiled something for you.
When I first started lashing, nobody was supporting me. My parents were embarrassed. The fact that all of my friends were going to university and I was gluing plastic on people's eyelashes. They would literally like... put their head down whenever someone asked, what am I doing with my life?
It's hard for them to see how this would be the best decision.
I too was unsupported.
I too was unsupported.
I too was unsupported by my family.
I too was unsupported.
I too was unsupported.
And when I'm not, it makes me feel like I can't do this.
Those around me don't always see what I'm doing as a real job.
I too was bullied.
I too was bullied.
I too was bullied.
When I started my lash career, nobody was supporting me because it was just simply new to the area where I was living in. Nobody was doing quality lashes, and everybody was afraid that I'm gonna leave my comfortable waitressing career for something that would fail. The exact words that my family told me, do not burn bridges with your boss at a restaurant. You might have to go back very shortly. Since then, I have built a successful business that brings me six figures yearly. I have employees, students, a gorgeous studio, and a full book since 2017, only a year and a half into my lashing career. I was able to fill up my books and become successful lash stylist that I am today. Don't give up. Don't let other people bring you down. Stand firm on your integrity and do right by your clients, and you will always succeed.
Crying. No, we're all crying.
Stop. How did you do that? I wasn't even expecting that. God.
What are you feeling?
It's just a sense of unity, mm-hmm. sense of relatability. That was really nice to hear.
Yeah.
I don't like crying in public, but no, it's not nice to know that people are going through the same stuff, but it's nice to know that we can come together and make a change about it. So thank you for that.
Your voice matters. Your voice matters so much. This episode, when it airs, like, I know it's not going to be an episode that the entire industry is going to listen to or anything, but even if it's just one person, even if we can just change one person's life, change one person's belief of who they are, I think we've done a phenomenal job.
100%. That's all that we need to do is help one person. That's the bit that, you know, that'll make me super happy. And if anyone's watching this and wants to reach out, I'm sure you guys will say the same thing. To need someone to talk to, you're more than happy to just jump in my DMs. And I'd be more than happy to chat and help you through something if you need.
Oh, thanks, Diana.
That's all for this episode of Untamed. Thank you so much for joining us today. You can see the show notes and all of the resources mentioned in today's episode at untamedartistry.com. Don't forget to subscribe. And remember, as your study buddy, we are always here for you. Don't hesitate to send us a DM at untamed.artistry.